And get started here this evening. It is good to see y'all here with us. It's good to see the Floyds back. Man, it's good to have. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Know what you're thinking. We're going to talk about Christmas tonight, aren't we? It's not going to be exactly what you expect, but we are going to be in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse number 41. We're going to read together down to verse number 51. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 51. All right, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, a couple people. Some people are still amen, amen. All right. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse number 41. The Bible says this: Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, Mary and Joseph, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I do thank you so much for this opportunity to stand behind your pulpit. Lord, to your people, I ask you please help us as we, Lord, learn something tonight. I just ask you help us. Lord, we live in such a busy society. Lord, we don't stop to take time for the most important things. I ask you please be with us now. Guide and direct the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to start off, and this is kind of a little bit personal, so I want you to help me out here, but I need you to pray for me. Just pray for me. My wife's been a little discouraging here lately. So, a little discouraging. Just the other day, and I'll give you this. Just bear with me on this. But the other day, she asked me to come meet her, and man, I had everything. I had the car seat. I had the diaper bag. I had diapers. I had water bottles in the diaper bag. I had everything. I had little fruit snacks in the diaper bag. I had everything. And I came there and she still, after all of that, everything that I brought, she was still mad at me. She found something to criticize. I said, "What is it?" She said, "You forgot the baby." So, I guess that's important. But anyway. But if you kind of feel like this for Joseph and Mary. I mean, we've been there before, right? If you've had kids, it's like, all right, okay, wait, we got to do a quick head count. All right, one, two, oh, wait, all right, let's look around. Hey, you know, we got a family whistle or something. I don't know. My dad had a belt. That's all I needed to make sure that I stayed close. But you can kind of put yourself in Joseph and Mary's situation here. Joseph and Mary, of course, they went up every year for the Passover. They were there in Jerusalem. And then this year was different. Jesus was 12 years old. And this year we see that as they start to head back, of course, they probably headed there with, as far as we could tell, they headed there with some family members and some acquaintances. It was a big group of people. And they just assumed, the Bible says that they supposed that Jesus was among the other caravan, the other group of people. And so they go about a whole day's journey. I get Mary and Joseph in this as well. You know, kids, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And it's like, wow, it's peace. They probably fell asleep on the way out. They didn't have anybody asking them questions. But here they go, a day's journey. And we see Mary and Joseph forgetting the most important thing in all of the world. Mary didn't know everything that was going to happen to Jesus Christ, but she did know that something was special. She did know that this was supernatural that happened to her, that she could deliver Jesus himself and how they orchestrated everything. But yet even Mary herself, even that connection that she had, she still forgot Jesus Christ. And my message for you this evening is, before we gripe at Mary and Joseph, about forgetting Jesus Christ, let's reflect on the many times that we ourselves have had a Christmas. We ourselves have gone through a Christmas time where we've forgotten about the most important person, Jesus Christ. How often does that happen? Honestly, so easy. It's so easy to get in that routine that we get into, and it's hustle and bustle. It's all go time. We're waking up and we're rolling all day long. And man, oh man, it's December. Oh great, it's February. Man, everything just is flying by us. But it's good for us to stop and reflect on the person that this is all about. Our whole lives are about, but especially this Christmas time, what it's all about is Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about keeping Christ as the center of your Christmas. We, like Mary and Joseph, we let other things come and take the place of Christ in our lives. I think about family. Family's great, but family can be consuming. I have family down in Louisiana that I haven't seen, I haven't seen in like probably 6 years, 5 or 6 years. And man, I want to go down there and see them, but man, I can't make it work out. But you know, sometimes we just get into this, well, it's my family, I gotta go, you know, sacrifice everything, I gotta go, it's family, we gotta take care of it. But you know, sometimes family can get in the way of Jesus Christ. Hobbies are great. One day I'll get to that point. My dad said I'm not old enough for a hammock yet, but one day I'll get old enough for one of those. But we have hobbies, things that take our time, television, entertainment, constantly going to the store 3 times a day because you keep forgetting about an ingredient. Whatever it may be, there are some things that happen in our life that take away the true meaning of, especially around this Christmas time, and they take away from Jesus Christ. I'm not against any of these things that we've mentioned, but the problem goes when this Christmas time is we take Christmas out of it. A couple, probably 10, 15 years ago, the big thing, they started putting the X, Xmas. And man, Christians, rightfully so, we stood up, no, keep Christ in Christmas, keep Christ in Christmas. But now we are a couple years removed from that, and do we stop to think about Christ during Christmas? We ourselves take away Christ out of Christmas. I'm going to just give you 2 things tonight. I know I'm a Baptist preacher, and it's usually 3 points. I'm just going to give you 2 points tonight to help you, something that you can use to practice in your life immediately to help you keep Christ as the center of your Christmas. Again, this is what it's all about. As I told the kids today Christian school. There we go. I teach on public school inside. No. But I told them in the Christian school, I said, hey, you know what? This is what it's all about. When Jesus came on this earth, Jesus came with a mindset that he had a goal to accomplish. Did Jesus have fun? I'm sure he did. I don't know everything that happened with Jesus Christ. I don't think he just sat in a corner and did nothing for his whole life. I felt like, he was tempted in all points, like as we, the Bible says. You know, again, I don't know what exactly his childhood looked like, but yet we sometimes get to this point where we stop thinking about Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at a couple of things here this evening. Number one is, do not let the Grinches of this world steal your Christmas. Don't let the Grinches of this world steal your Christmas. We're all familiar with the story of the Grinch, right? Okay, yeah, I'm preaching from the pulpit about the Grinch. But we know the Grinch, right? The Grinch comes through and takes away all of the things that represent Christmas to these little people, right? But, you know, in our lives, the world does the exact same thing. The world comes into our life to take away the Christmas, what truly the meaning of Christmas is, from our lives. We're going to look at a couple of them tonight. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Number one, don't let the Grinches of the world steal your Christmas. Matthew chapter 2, let's look down at verse number 7. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says this, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, the wise men, and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. If anybody knows the story, he was lying through his teeth. He was not ready to worship Jesus Christ. He was nervous because he was supposed to, they said, hey, where's the King of the Jews? And I'm the King of the Jews. And he was ready to kill Jesus Christ. He was ready to kill this so-called King of the Jews. But then we see here, look at verse number 12. So they had seen Jesus, the wise men, but then the Bible says, in being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed into their own country another way. Look down at verse number 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. So we see here, this was about 2 years had passed. We don't know exactly the time frame, but we understand if he was going to kill somebody, hey, I'm going to make sure that I'm getting how old this king of the Jews is supposed to be, and maybe just a little bit of a buffer in there. But we see the King Herod tried to steal, just like the Grinch did, tried to steal away Christmas, tried to steal away Christ from us. Again, Herod, he attempts to kill all the boys that would be born, trying to rid himself of the possibility of this king of the Jews that would rise himself up. There are things in your life that can become Grinches that try to steal Christmas from you, the true meaning of Christmas. Try to get your focus off of Jesus Christ and onto other things. Let's look at a couple of things here tonight. Take your Bibles and go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, we're going to look at the first one here. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30. Proverbs 14, verse number 30, the Bible says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Preacher talked about this last Sunday about godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, one of the things that come through to try to steal Christmas in your life is this idea of discontentment. Discontentment comes in, and I'm not going to re-preach preacher's message, but discontentment comes in. It tries to take away what you have, tries to belittle the things that you have, and tries to inflate or make other things look more important or more valuable than the things you have. And what happens is around this Christmas time, in the season of giving and helping and caring about other people, we get this spirit of discontentment. And we get this spirit of, just again, as the Bible says there, but envy is a rottenness of the bones. It's envy, covetousness, discontentment, displeased Christians allow this spirit to steal away their time of celebrating Christ. Again, this brings the idea of Christmas onto yourself. I'm discontented with the things that I have. Oh man, this is what I really want. This is what I really need in my life. And yet we're around this time, especially around Christmas time, we get into this idea of being discontented. Oh man, it's just not good enough. Nothing we have is what I want. Again, getting the right gift. This is what I want. This is what I've got on my Christmas list. If I don't get this, I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm going to be angry. And that discontentment comes in. When we should be saying, hey, you know what? I'm just excited that Christ came on this earth to live and die on the cross for my sins. But yet we get into this idea, well, it's just not enough. What I have is not enough. We're always looking for the next thing. Stuff and social status can create this Grinch of discontentment that can creep in and steal away Christmas from us. Again, discontented with the family that you have, discontented with the things that you have, where you are financially. These things can come in and you can be discontented. You just, there's something inside of you. It doesn't sit right. Man, I wish I had this. And we're always comparing. We're always looking at what other people have. That is something that happens every year. We see that. Being discontented. This idea of being discontented is as rottenness to the bones. Let's look at another one. Take your Bible, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the next Grinch here is the Grinch of disagreement. The Grinch of disagreement. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. Many of you probably know this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18, the Bible says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, there are some things, of course, that we should have lines drawn in the sand. Where that is for each person, I'm not 100% sure. But I know for us, we have some lines. If this is crossed, hey, you know, I love you in Jesus' name, especially when it turns to family. I love you, but this is not going to happen in my house, or this is not going to happen around my kids. There are some lines to be drawn. That's where that if it be possible. But sometimes we create disagreements in our own right. We say, hey, I know this subject, when talking around my family, I know this subject is a real hot button. I'm going to go ahead and just dance around it a little bit and maybe, beat around the bush a little bit until, oh, it comes up. Hey, sit, now that you mention it, make sure when this, especially around this Christmas time, we have friends and we have family coming through and you have people that, honestly, the whole world, it's amazing, but the whole world stops to celebrate Christmas. Don't let these little things steal Christmas away from you. But this Grinch of disagreement. With so much hustle and bustle, the stress level often climbs out the roof. And it's stress that we put on ourselves. Oh man, I gotta get 13 gifts for sister so-and-so because she got me 12 gifts last year and I gotta make sure I do more than her. And oh man, I got family coming over and we gotta have 14 turkeys so that everybody gets a whole, and you get this stress level that just raises and raises and raises every year. And with that comes arguments and disagreements and miscommunication often happens. Here we went to Thanksgiving at my parents. And, man, my brothers are older now. We've got a little bit of a different vocabulary now. Not curse words, but man, we can talk. We can use our words to show what we believe and what ideas we have. And man, it's a whole different feel this Thanksgiving. I'm like, all right, wait, got to make sure we avoid these things. Or if we are going to talk about them, it's in the right spirit. It's not around kids. It's not, there's some wisdom that is displayed there. The Bible tells if it be possible, as much as lie within you, live peaceably with all men. If that cashier goes, happy holidays, don't yell back at her. No, it's Merry Christmas. All right, you're going to say Merry Christmas around me. Bless God. No, thank you. Hey, Merry Christmas. You could just say Merry Christmas back. All right, you don't have to, if there's a box that says Xmas on it, Sharpie in Christ on a sign. All right, that what is that called? A Christian graffiti? I can't remember exactly, But again, live peaceably with all men. I'm not saying just be a coward and let everybody say whatever they want. No, we should stand. There's a movie my wife was telling me about that's got a kid writing a letter to Satan. It's a whole movie about that. Man, we should stand up to that. I say, oh, hold on. That's not what Christmas is about. There's a time. But generally, your family's not out with a knife ready to cut your throat because you're going to talk about this, Donald Trump or whatever it is. You talk about it, I'm going, all right, let's live peaceably with all men. But this idea of disagreement comes in, whether it's disagreements with family or friends or with anybody, we must learn to go, let things go and not let the Grinch of disagreement steal Christmas. I remember growing up, as a little kid, would go over to my dad's, my grandma's house on my dad's side, and it was just my dad and his sister. There was just the only two kids. And, my dad had us three, and then, his sister had several kids and grandkids at that point. And, I remembered, even as a little kid, I knew what time it was. Because as soon as it was time to clean up, after the gifts have already been passed out, all of the food has been eaten, but it was time to clean up. Man, that is when, oh, why you never do this to me, and you always did this to me, and the arguments started rising, and started throwing things, and why did they do that? Because they didn't want to clean up, and man, they got out of there as soon as possible, and we were left cleaning up everything. But that happened year after year, and I'm sure it still happens. I haven't been down there in a while. But what is that? That's that Grinch of disagreement. This is not about us. This is not about, I'm going to get that mic drop on my uncle for saying, it's none of that stuff. We're here to live peaceably, of course. And we're here to, yes, those conversations are good. It's good to have conversations like that in the right spirit at the right time. But again, if we're not careful, this idea of disagreement can take away and steal away the main focus of what Christmas should be on, and that's about Jesus Christ. Then the third thing here, the Grinch of disappointment. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, which in its own right is a beautiful message. It's a great message of truth and peace and hope, the Bible tells us. But we are to take that to others. We are to bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, that's the gospel, but that could be other things. Man, when you're around family, and I did this with my family here recently. Hey, what has the Lord's been working on your heart? What are some things that the Lord's done for you recently? Let's talk about the good things that the Lord has done. We have a tendency so often to get to the negative and always talk about the things that are bringing things down. It's, oh man, what about the economy? Or what about, this is happening to my job and this and this. It's always the negative, but we don't ever bring those glad tidings. Christmas season is a happy time for most people. Bring the glad tidings. But, I say that to say this. Many of us have been hurt. Around Christmas time, maybe you have memories of a loved one that you've lost. Or maybe somebody that you've lost here recently, that they won't be there at Christmas. They were there last year, but not here this year. There is disappointment in life, but don't let that disappointment take away Jesus Christ out of your Christmas. Don't let that be the focus. Oh man, I just can't go on because I don't have my sister. I don't have my spouse or whatever it may be. Don't let that steal away Christmas out of your life. Let's just make sure that don't let those negative things that happen in our life keep us from helping others and being encouragement to our family that we're around. Again, bring glad tidings of good things. If I found out anything in this world that you can always get a buddy with something negative. Man, if I were to stand in a line, if I'm in a line at all and you say something like, good night, how long are we going to be in this line for? Man, you got a buddy that's, oh yeah, I've been here a little bit longer than you. Man, they're just so slow back there. Man, do they even know how to operate that thing? And man, it's so easy to get a buddy that way, but how often are we the ones that's trying to be a proponent of glad tidings, some good things? Hey, you know what? I'm thankful this got a heater in this place. I'm thankful that we're able to be together. I'm thankful I hadn't snowed a blizzard out there yet. Man, let's talk about the glad tidings. Don't let disappointment steal your Christmas away. Then there's the last thing here with the Grinch is here, the Grinch of disobedience. The Bible says in John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This Grinch of disobedience. What happens around Christmas time, and generally in life, is we, around this December, this November, December, man, we have just entered into vacation, end of the year mode. And we've just, everything's slowed down. It's like, oh man, I'm just ready for Christmas break. The kids in the Christian school, and it's all about Christmas break. It's all about Christmas break. I don't know why they haven't had the countdown yet. They got it in their minds, but that's what it's about. But hey, you're missing so much. Don't let this disobedience come in where we just say, well, it's the holidays. Nobody's going to know. Hey, I'm going to be with friends. I'm going to be with family. Nobody's going to know what's going to happen. Man, I don't have to keep a rigid walk with God. It's okay. And what happens, we miss the whole importance of what Christmas is about. Let's be careful that we stay close to God. Walk with Him daily. Don't let this disobedience steal our Christmas. Again, don't let these Grinches, and there's many others, but I won't get into them tonight, but don't let these Grinches steal Christmas from you. This is supposed to be about Christ. It's supposed to be about Him. But yet we are just like Mary and Joseph, and we forget the most important thing in the whole entire world. We forget about it. And let's, again, so number one, to help you with that, to help us with that, is don't let these Grinches steal your Christmas. Don't let anything take away Christ out of your Christmas. And the next thing is have a little ritual or something that you do to keep Christ in Christmas. The Bible tells us Jesus, before he left, he said, this do in remembrance of me. Why does he say that? Because we forget. We live our lives and we just totally forget about Jesus Christ. And yet God wants us to have things in our life. When the children of Israel crossed over into Canaan land, God wanted them to set up a memorial so that when their children walked by, they said, Daddy, what is this thing? Well, this is to show to us where we crossed over the Jordan River. This is a memorial for me to help me know that, hey, this is what God did in our lives. This is why we live here in this land. But again, you need to find something that works for you to keep Christ in Christmas. A pastor, a friend of mine, what he does is every year, they have the Christmas tree decorated, but every day during the Christmas time, he's the first one that gets up in the morning and he plugs that Christmas tree in and he just stops and stares at the Christmas lights. And that's what helps him. That's what helps him to kind of stop. It's all quiet. He gets up before everybody else does. And he just stares at the Christmas lights. And it reminds him of the light of the world that came in for us. And man, that works for him. But it may be different for other people. Some of you don't wake up until the sun's already up. So it's kind of hard to plug those lights in. But that's okay. You know, the wise men, we're not going to take time to look at it. But the wise men, when they were looking for Jesus Christ, they had a desire to see Jesus Christ. And so what were some of the things they looked for? They saw the lights. They looked for the star. The star showed them where Jesus was. Then they went to Jesus' house, the Bible says. Again, if this is going to break your bubble, the wise men were not there when Jesus was born. They didn't go to the manger scene. and you know, hey, excuse me, shepherds, I got some gold. I need to. No, they weren't there. All right, he was at the house. He was a young child at that point. But they did. They went to Jesus' house. They saw Mary. They saw Joseph, and they gave gifts. What was that? Those were things that they did because they wanted to show Jesus that they worshipped him. The Bible says in Matthew 2:11. They worshipped him. That was something that they had to do. They're trying to keep Christ as the center, as the focus of this time here. You know, what are some things that you do? What are some traditions that you have in your family? Not just, my aunt, she brings the fruitcake every year. No, we're talking about Christmas. Yeah, don't eat that. Anyway, but we're talking about some traditions or some things that you can put into your life to help you keep Christ as the center of your Christmas. The Christmas story. Sometimes when I usually read the Christmas story, I go into Luke 1, then I go into Matthew 2, and then I go to Luke 2, and then I go to Matthew 2, and I try to get it from all different angles. Why? Because it's neat. I don't want to just, all right, here we go, children. All right, let me bring out the Bible. I know, knock the dust off of it. Here we go. All right, okay, yeah, this is, all right, where we start at. No, I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be something special. My wife, I've done it once with her family, but her family, what they usually do for Christmas time is they all go out to, they have a barn and they've got a couple horses. And they go out there, they set the hay bales out, and they all just sit in that barn and they read the Christmas story. Man, that is amazing. I got to do it with them. They had little lights on and things. It was just really cool to see that. What was it? Trying to help it to make it real in your life. Especially if you got younger kids. Maybe we try to, on Christmas Day, we usually have lights strung out. We try to make Christmas big to our children. Not just the gifts and everything, but what Christ is to us, what Christ means to us. Don't make the Christmas story a drudgery, all right? It's like, all right, Bill, I did it last year. Your turn. Go ahead. No, don't make it into that. We're talking about Christ's birth. The whole purpose of us even getting together is because of Christ. Don't just make it something that you have to do. All right, we checked it off here. We got 10 minutes. Go ahead. Go, go, quick. All right, you read a couple verses. Go. No, whatever you need to do, but don't make the Christmas story a drudgery. Let's keep Christ as Christmas. Maybe for some people it's decorating. Man, I pulled in the other night and I didn't even recognize my house. My wife had decorated the outside of it, and I get lost generally, so it's okay. But man, she threw some Christmas lights, and man, it was beautiful. And what was that? We're trying to, you know, the kids are like, oh man, this is exciting. What is that? We're trying to keep Christ in Christmas, trying to keep the Christmas. It's not just another day that we're just going to let pass by. We're trying to put importance where it needs to be. Singing Christmas carols. Man, you know, if anybody knows me, I love to sing. Man, sing some Christmas. It doesn't matter if you're off key. All these Christmas songs are too high anyway, all right? They're way up there in the upper register. It's okay. Everybody cracks when they sing them. That's fine. Sing some Christmas carols. You know, what's helped here me here recently is I just pick one Christmas song. And I just keep thinking about that Christmas song. This year is 10,000 Joys. Man, I'm trying to get Miss Couture to sing it. But man, it's a beautiful song. And man, I'm focusing. I'm trying to think about that. That helps me to keep Christ in Christmas. What are some other things? You know, what about the Christmas story? How many's ever taken the time to study all the different characters, all the different pieces that were in place for the Christmas story to happen? Man, you know, John the Baptist was a part of the Christmas story, Jesus' birth. Man, you had the shepherds, you had the angels that were a part of that. Anybody else? Can anybody think of any other characters that were in the Christmas story that sometimes often overlooked?
Innkeeper.
Yes, the innkeeper. Okay, yeah, he's like, all right, no, we ain't got any room. Go in the back. We got Anna. Does anybody know who Anna is? All right, great. We have Simeon. Simeon, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit told him that he wasn't going to die unless he saw Jesus Christ. Man, that's an awesome part that we add to the Christmas story. Why? Because it's a real person. He had an interaction with Jesus when they were coming into the temple. Man, you've got lots of people. You have Elizabeth. You have Zacharias. Man, what is that? These are just different characters. Take some time. Hey, I'm going to study out the birth of Jesus Christ. If it's that foundational for us as Christians, why don't we know more about it? Why don't we put importance where it should be? Hey, you know what? I'm going to take the next 2 hours and I'm just going to read the Christmas story over and over again. Or I'm up until Christmas, I'm just going to read the Christmas story. I'm going to read Luke 2. I'm going to read Luke 1. Why? Because I'm trying to keep Christ as the center of my Christmas. I've heard of people making birthday cakes for Jesus on Christmas. If people like cakes, you go for that one. That's fine. But what is that? You're just trying to keep Christ in Christmas. Study a Christmas hymn. Last year I studied the first Noel. Just took that song and broke it apart, found out, where those passages of scripture are. And that was good for me. Take apart a Christmas hymn. Not, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. But something else. Something that you can learn from. Try to take this time. Put it on the focus on Jesus Christ. Maybe as a family, you find somebody that needs something. Man, you're going to work together, especially if you have older children. Hey, we're going to make a little bit of money until this time because somebody needs something. There's somebody out there that has a need. We want to make sure that we're meeting it. Man, do that as a family. It's just something. Do something. Don't just let Christmas just come and go. Don't just, oh man, well, here, I looked on your Amazon list. I got you two things. Hey, Merry Christmas. I forgot to wrap them. Here you go. Man, Christmas is fun. I get to see what I bought for the kids. I didn't even know. It's like we're seeing it at the same time. It's like, wow, that's awesome. But keep Christ as the center of your Christmas. Now find something to disrupt the norm to focus on Christ. What do they say what a rut is? A rut is just a grave with two ends kicked out. That's all it is. And we get into the rut of life. Find something to get you out of that rut. Say, all right, God, hey, you know, it's Tuesday morning. You know, I've got an extra little bit of time. I don't have to work or whatever it is. Hey, I'm just going to take some time. I'm just going to go through a hymn book and I'm just going to sing some Christmas hymns. There's a lot of doctrine in Christmas hymns. And I'm going to take some time. I'm going to read the Christmas story. Do something to disrupt the norm so that way you can focus on Jesus Christ. There was a party on June the 3rd, 2006. It was for a boy named Michael Emmanuel. It was his sixth birthday. Friends and family were invited to go to the local Chuck E. Cheese there in Boca Raton, Florida. I don't know how you say it. I just sounded fancy. But the party went great. Everybody had a good time. It was Chuck E. Cheese, of course. You know, parents, they just send them off and have them gamble at the local little... That's what it is. That's where I learned. I have a gambling addiction. But that's what it is. You just give them the coins. They play their games and things. And everything was going great. And after everything was done, everybody loaded up in three different vehicles and they took off. That is everybody except for Michael himself. Michael was left there, and he's looked out. Nobody was there, so he went back and played in the ball pit. He was there by himself. And around 10 p.m. at night, the Chuck E. Cheese employees saw him there, and they're like, "Hey, where are your parents at?" He didn't know, so they called the police. And Michael's mother assumed that her son was staying with his grandmother with another family member, and didn't recognize or realize that the boy was missing until the next morning. Didn't even know. Here's the thing. Michael, unfortunately for Michael and for his mother, it is possible for us to have a joyful celebration and still forget the guest of honor. That's what happens in our life. Don't forget about Jesus. Don't let this just be something where we have a big ball and we have a bunch of, gifts and food and stuff like that, and we forget the real reason for the season. You got to keep Christ as a center for your Christmas. If you don't, there are going to be some Grinches out there that are going to steal Christ from you very quickly, before you even know it. You have to make sure that we're staying focused on that. Don't let the Grinches of the world steal your Christmas. And have something, a little something that throws off your routine, that you focus on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 2:11, talking about the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. Those wise men took time out of their whole day. They went from the east. They came over there. Why? So they could honor and worship Jesus Christ. Let's do the same with our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for how you've blessed us. Lord, we are so blessed here in America. Lord, I use that term. It's just, we have everything that we need. Lord, if we want something, we just order it on Amazon. It comes in. We don't have to make anything anymore. Lord, if we're hungry, we order it from our phone. It comes in from somebody, delivery person. God, we have everything, but yet, Lord, we oftentimes don't have you. Help us, Lord, not to take this Christmas time and just focus on our needs, our wants, and the things that will take Christmas from us. But Lord, help us to focus. Help us to do something to get our minds focused on you. Lord, we're thankful for you. Thank you for this time.